B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
DeSean Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy day before Thanksgiving across the Delaware Valley. This is the Anthony Gargano Show. We're live at a special, special place. In fact, this is my favorite broadcast of the year. Bar none, my favorite broadcast of the year. Live from the Reading Terminal Market. I love this place, man. This is a Philadelphia treasure. It's right here, the day before Thanksgiving. And it's the perfect day to be here. As everybody gets ready for the holidays, and you know, in Philadelphia, we have food, right? Food is a big part of our culture. It connotes love, and it's about the holidays, right? Like, we take the holidays seriously. We love our Thanksgiving. We love all of our holiday season, and it centers around food. And the greatest food place right here is the Reading Terminal Market with incredible, incredible stands. I mean, just the culinary delights that are abound in this marketplace. It is a true treasure. I'll put it up against any other place in the country. I don't care what kind of Pikes in Seattle, whatever kind of market gathering in New York, any kind of the food halls that are big in New York, I'll put the Reading Terminal Market against anybody, and I'll win because nobody's got the food that we have. And food is a big part of it, right? It's a big part of our celebration. I grew up in a household where it was all about that. It was like it was a show of love. And that's why I see all the people, and they're going to come in today and get all their supplies from all the great vendors and the merchants. And you know, it's a great, great place, the Reading Terminal Market. So what I really want you to do is I want you to stop by, and I got the tunis with me, and we have a mic here. And I really wanted this, and we're going to have some special guests stop by, the whole thing. But I want you guys to come on and pay a visit, sample some of the great delights here, and then let's talk 4 for 4. Because today, the show is going to center around the state of 4 for 4. Where we are with each of the four teams, and I want to do it from a positive standpoint, from a positive perspective. I want a positive slant. Like, I know that there are issues with all the teams, certainly, but I kind of want to look at it where you check in, and it's your fix. You know, how do we make it the Roaring Twenties? What has to happen for the Roaring Twenties to occur? Look, it's not gloom and it's not complete doom. You know, there are aspects, and they are, each of these teams have the ability to be true contenders and true and really, really go where we want to go and make this decade the decade of Philadelphia. It just needs, do you need tweaking? You need some moves, and what has to happen? So I kind of want you to look at it from that perspective. What really needs to be done to get where we go? Because it's the day before Thanksgiving, and I want it to be a happy time. So I want to view our sports landscape, however tumultuous, through the positive lens. And that's what I want to do today. I think it can happen, and it's a great day to do it as everybody gets ready to go family and friends, and you know, tonight's the greatest night to go out and hang out and see everybody and who comes home and who, you know, do your holiday cheer. I love it. I love a party, and today's a great party day, and tomorrow is the big feast. So today's going to be the feast before the feast, live at the Reading Terminal Market. And with me, I got my boy. I do all these remotes, and I never get a chance to have him with me. The Tunis.
They unlocked me. They let me come
you're
out.
Out of the cage, Tunis.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
You're around. I love it.
This is awesome. This is so cool. I didn't realize that the Stairway to Heaven, that song is actually like the stairway from Jefferson Station up into the Reading Terminal Market. This place is beautiful.
That's a very good visual, man.
I got like here it. Around, what, 9:20, and all I did was just walk around. And I smelled each area.
Yeah.
And just stared at all the food and wanted to buy everything. And I think I could go broke if I
lived because, here. Like, this is our adult playground, man.
Yeah, during your opening, I didn't pay attention to a word you just said because there was a cake truck that came by.
Yeah.
And I just, I ignored you. I'm sorry. I can't.
No,
I'm going to admit
me,
it to
it's
you.
You're going to get distracted all day today. So our girl, Sarah, who is, she runs the market. She is incredible. I love Sarah. And she makes us feel right at home.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah's dad who comes to see, I love him. Her mom, I mean, great people. And she makes us feel at home every year when we do the broadcast. And wait till you see what she has cooked up. It's a sampling of this incredible Reading Terminal Market. A sampling that is, you brought up Stairway to Heaven. It can only be described as heavenly.
That's what today is. Today's literally a heavenly day.
Yeah. Listen. Everybody works all year long. It's, you know, you get into the mundane, you know, it's a slog sometimes and you get everything. And so you need days like today and tomorrow and the holidays that are coming soon. And you need to enjoy it. You need to take a moment and kind of look at perspective. And that's what the holidays give you, love and perspective.
Let's face it, this is kind
of. And it's also a time when you want to take care of people that are less fortunate and don't have the support group and don't have the ability and the wherewithal to enjoy it
right
the way we can.
And as Philadelphia sports fans, this is the perfect time because we need it.
Yeah,
we all need a day to sort of just relax. And there was no games last night, so you can't be angry about anything this morning.
No, I came in completely like, all right, it's easy to point out issues and point out problems, but now it's like, let's get fixes. We have a very, very intelligent fan base. Now, people go, oh, we always think we're the smartest fan. You know what? We really are a very intelligent fan base. What happens sometimes is that we let our emotions sometimes cloud us, and so we'll sound a little bit off kilter.
Right.
The some of the goofiness that you might hear from time to time is just inspired by emotion. That, I mean, that's what it is. We're an emotional place. See, Philadelphia is an emotional city. People wear their emotions on their sleeves. It's real. It's, you know, we are, you really are, in a lot of ways, where you come from. You know, you're shaped that way. And, you know, look, we're emotional people because that's this town.
Right.
Emotional town. We're not like California. Like, we always talk about California and difference. And I've been out there and I love California. I love Los Angeles and I love the West Coast. But, you know, I love to visit. You know, those people get on your nerves after a while.
Right.
Like, there's no soul there.
You love to visit. You love being here.
Yeah. You know, look at my man right here. Like, look at my man. It's a great place to come see. Like, that's a Philadelphia guy right here.
Yes. In front.
What's your name?
Lamar.
Lamar?
Yeah.
Like, Lamar, that's a Philly guy right here. It's my man. Like, you know, that's what we're about. You know, smile and loving, hating, fighting. It's all a part of it. It's the whole thing's a part of it. Hey, my man, what's happening, buddy? There's Robert Richardson. There he is. Like, he created a football game, right, called Robert's, where is it? I wrote it down. Robert's Miniature Football. Like, how cool is that? Like, you know, this is what we're about. Like, see that smile on face that Robert has? That's a Philadelphia
guy.
That's
a good smile right there.
Right. And that's, today is a very festive day. I want to get into it. So today we look for 4-for-4 solutions. And please, I invite you to come down, man. If you are anywhere close to Center City, I would love for you to stop by. Love for you to stop by. Hang out with us. Sample some of the delights. Come on the air. And give us some 4-for-4 wishes. You know, where we're headed, how do we get where we want to go? What are some of the spots? What needs to happen to get to the Roaring Twenties, Junis?
A lot.
Right?
A lot. But we can dream today.
I don't know.
It's not that far off.
Listen, it's not pie in the sky. It's not like it was a few years ago.
Right.
When it was all gloom. Right? When the Eagles won the Super Bowl, that came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Right? And the rest of the landscape was depressing.
It's not depressing anymore.
No, it's not.
Because there's good signs. There's positive signs.
There is hope around with each of the all four teams. So I want to focus on that. I want your fixes. 610-632-0975. That's the show all day today. That's the theme of the show. And it's with you guys. And I want to celebrate the treasures of Philadelphia. Since we're right here live at the Reading Terminal Market. The Chunis is here. Get ready to eat.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I haven't eaten yet today.
No, I told you.
Keep
good.
The stomach empty.
Right, good. Good. It's the perfect time, man. And I want you everybody to stop by. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. The state of 4 for 4 today on Cuz Radio, only on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, back live at the Reading Terminal Market as we examine the 4 for 4 landscape with a positive purview. That's the mission today for today's show. So here's the deal. We will allow you, any of the four teams, to chime in. They're all open all day long. So you chime in and you give us how they can get better, how they can become true title contenders, what they need to do, moves, you name it, whatever you feel like, whatever's burning inside you to get there. We know all the issues. One thing that came up that is not from the positive slant was the Jimmy Butler story.
Yes, how about that?
And Jimmy Butler saying, now, do you think, because I'm thinking that this is a little bit of sour grapes.
I think it totally is. He had the exact same comments about Minnesota teammates.
Like, nobody works harder than him.
Yeah, listen, Jimmy, I appreciate that you go to the gym at like 3 in the morning after a game and then you're back at like 8 in the morning on game day. I appreciate that. But come on, man. I guarantee you there's Miami Heat teammates of his that don't work as hard as him. Is he going to have issues with Miami? Because he's just signed a max deal. He's going to be there for a while.
Exactly. But it was interesting that he did say it. He said he told Yahoo Sports that they didn't match his work ethic. No, but everybody don't do that. Everybody don't work like that. This just what it is. I've learned over the years, is there something wrong with that? No, that's not. And then he goes into, he talks about the contrast with Minnesota, and he brought up, you know, like Towns and Wiggins, all those guys, and then he said, am I being tough on them? Yeah, that's who I am. That's what he talked about. And then he said, he talked about Pat Riley, kissed up to Pat Riley, saying that Pat Riley is me times 10.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. There was the Jimmy, the obligatory. You knew the Jimmy couldn't keep quiet.
Right. And it's just funny. Jamie actually made a good point right at the end of the morning show. He said his best friend is Joel Embiid, who always seems to be a little out of shape. Right? Like, that's his best friend from the Sixers, and they still keep in touch. The guy that's still a little bit out of shape even this season.
It is interesting, right? You know, like, he loves himself some Joe. And, yeah, I mean, we've chronicled what he's looked like. All right, so let's start off with, let's start off the Sixers, then we're going to head to the phone lines, open them up, 610-632-0975. I still think they're close. So let's figure out what they need to do to really win this thing. To go, look, the West is no joke. The Clippers are ridiculous. We were just talking about this. I think they're the best team in the league. They're tough. They have everything. They could score. They play great defense.
Beat up on the Mavs last night.
Yeah, they're a really good, really good team. But let's talk about how you get there to play them. Like, how do you go and beat Milwaukee and beat the Bostons and the Torontos and the Heats and all that? How do you get out of the East? What you need to do?
You got to find your identity. I still don't think they have, and that's the problem. You have been talking about the identity for the entire season. You've been talking about bully ball, right? Getting to the line, playing good defense, and I am 100% on the same page with you about bully ball when it comes to the Sixers, but it seems like Brett Brown is still trying to figure some stuff out, and I get it. That's part of his job, but at the same time, when we talk about how important home court advantage is, have the Sixers lost at home yet this year? No, they haven't lost at home yet this year. Home court is very important for the Sixers, and yet, if they are still trying to figure things out during certain games, all of a sudden, you might be a three seed when it is all said and done. And what does that mean for you come playoff time?
Now, it is like, and again, what I do want to caution is the month of November.
Okay.
All right. We know the unofficial start of the NBA is Christmas Day.
Yes.
I mean, I kind of want to ramp up. And in reality, you know, you got to make sure that you know what you need by the trade deadline.
Right.
All right? Like, you know, do you really need someone that could come off the bench? Because I don't see, you're not going to do anything major and disrupt the starting lineup. So any kind of move like that is not going to happen. Like, you built this team. You got to see this team through. So whatever you add to it is a bench piece.
Yeah, it's via buyouts. It's the second round picks that Elton Brand accumulated during the draft this past year. It's nothing big.
No, I mean, I think honestly what they truly lack and what they really will need is the obvious, what everybody said. They need Lou Williams off the bench.
Yeah. Now, I'm not...
that's the guy. That's the kind of guy you need off
but then
the
this
bench.
Is what bothers me. I get it. Trey Burke is not Lou Williams. He's nowhere close. But then just the other night, you had Howell Neto play, and Trey Burke is not getting any minutes in the fourth quarter. And what happened in the fourth quarter? The Sixers blew that lead to Toronto.
See, I think we look at individual games with the heightened importance, right? And I don't understand, because I do, too. I think, I'm not that the outcome is secondary, but I do think that Brett is trying different things at different points. And that's the conclusion that I come to, because there are things where you go, yeah, I mean, how do you not do X, Y, and Z? It's got to be because of experimentation.
Right, and I get that. But you know, I know, I'm sure Brett Brown knows 100 threes in that span of three games that we talked about a few weeks ago. When you look at this roster, you don't go, yeah, this is a team that can put up 100 threes and shoot at a 40% clip.
No, and I do believe that the identity of bully ball, the one thing, to me, the most important thing is I do think they need that guy, the Lou Williams type, off the bench. But I also think that they really need to have their roles defined and understand who has the ball during a crucial period of the game.
Right.
Not just the end of the game. You know, there's going to become a playoff game, and it's the third quarter, and they're down 11, and they need a bucket because they're bleeding, and they need to stop the run. So who do you run the play for? What's it look like? Who's got the basketball? You know, that's paramount to winning a title and winning the East.
All right, and that comes back to Brett. I mean, it was easy for Brett.
It comes to playing it out, right?
Yeah, I get that, but it was easy for him last year and the year before where it was like, all right, we need a bucket, so let's run a screen for J.J. Redick, and he can hit a three when he's falling down to the ground, and he's going to make it, and that's going to stop the opposing team's run. He doesn't have that this year. He doesn't have J.J. Redick. You and I both questioned why when he said, oh, Tobias Harris, I'm going to try to make him like J.J. Redick. No, you're not, because that's not who Tobias Harris is. And it's up to Brett to try to figure out these roles. It's up to Brett to figure out the identity. The other night when Joel Embiid scores 0 points, you need to have the guy that goes, all right, who's my secondary guy? Who's my guy that's going to step up?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't Ben, which is a problem. Yeah. It wasn't Tobias, which is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. 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 All good stuff. So we analyze them all today. The Phillies, what the Phils need to do, to me, it's clear. Gerrit Cole, that's it. I don't want to hear anything other than you're getting me Gerrit Cole. That's it. Give him, they got the money. Middleton's got the wherewithal. You got the real baseball guy in charge now, the guy that we can lean on,
right.
The guy that knows the game inside and out. I love the D.D. Gregorius thing. I think that gets rid of Segura. And I think in the park, I think he'll get you some more pop that you wouldn't have had. And you go after Cole. And Cole Nola, I like a lot.
Yeah, I love that too. But I still also have this dream of Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, I do too, right. But I would
have to pick one, yeah. Cole or Rendon, yeah. And Cole's the obvious choice because he didn't have pitching this year, but Rendon at third base for your squad?
No, that would be ridiculous. That would be ridiculous. So, but we'll dive into that. We'll dive into the Flyers, who I think I'm so excited about. I mean, finally, the kids that we have waited for, they're playing a style that we have longed for. They're a style that's born out of skill. This is true skill that we're seeing. Yeah, man. They have reached what the league is. And now it's just about them growing and tweaking. I love where they're at. We'll get into that. What Elaine Vigneault has done. So we'll get into that. And of course the Birds.
Yep.
They're a 9-point favorite in Miami on Sunday.
I hope they put up 40 points. They have to. Make us all feel better.
So we'll dive into all of it. Let's start it off with Tony. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Tony.
How you doing, cuz?
What's up, buddy?
Ain't nothing much, man. Hey, man, listen, I got an early Christmas wish for you, but let me get my point out first, and I'll give you my Christmas wish,
yes,
okay?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I just want to tell you, I agree 100% with you, man. It's like Carson is playing in a box. I pick 100% blame on Doug and his coaching staff. Listen, man, I love that we won the Super Bowl, but I also think it probably was the worst thing that could have happened to us from a developmental standpoint because they stole all our coaches. I mean, because let's be real. Doug has not called a great opening game plan for Carson since he came back versus Indianapolis against Frank Wright. Like, he can't get in the rhythm.
Yep.
I mean, I get it. He don't have no weapons, and I'm going to stick
with
him.
No, I agree with you. I see a lack of creativity, man, on this.
Right, exactly.
I feel you. I agree.
Because if you give Bill Belichick, you mean something, you give Bill Belichick, Dallas Gallagher, and Zach Ertz, you mean something, you can't create any type of creativity, any type of offense? Like, come on. Like, it's kind of hard to watch. I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad that the city ain't really backing Carson like we should. But, hey, man,
listen,
like that Carson.
I don't really pity him because it's, you know, it's quarterback, right? Like, so,
right.
Quarterback, you got to be tough. Like, if you're that North Dakota and you got scrapes and it's cold and all that stuff that I build, you're fighting a bear, then fight the bear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Hey, cuz, listen, I know you text Howie from time to time. Now, last year at the owners' meeting, Jeff Lurie was quoted as saying that he seeks a bring back of Kelly Green in 2020. Cuz all I want for Christmas is for the Eagles to bring back Kelly Green.
Oh, I love it.
Carson, because he could start his own era. Listen, Nick won it in Midnight Green. Carson gonna win it in Kelly Green.
That's a brilliant. You're a genius.
Listen, all I need you to do is shoot Howie a text or find out from one of your connects this yay or nay. What's Kelly Green look like for next year?
I love it.
That's all I want for Christmas, cuz.
All right, I gotta put you in the mix for the call of the week. All right.
Okay.
All right, hold on, Tone, because I love the concept. You know why I love the concept? Not just because of what Kelly Green represents. I think you now need a divide from the Super Bowl. Like, you need a reset from the Super Bowl. You got to pair some of these guys that were on that team. Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, right? You got to get rid of those guys, and then you got to reset it and make it feel different. And I know it sounds silly, like a uniform, but a color, it's a reset. I think Tony's dead right about that. You need to reset the thing and make it reset with Wentz, because he's not going anywhere. So you got to figure out how to fix him.
Who else are you resetting? Alshon, Nelson, but is that really it? You look at the defensive side of the ball. You're not getting rid of Brandon Graham. You're not getting rid of Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, but you get my point, though. I mean, there's certain guys.
I'm wondering, Alshon, you can make a case as a cancer in the locker room. If he is the snitch, Nelson Agholor is a problem.
Yeah, but you're gonna shape this team differently.
Right.
You're gonna need a more influx. Like, you know, JP's not gonna be back. There's going to be guys that aren't back.
Like a new identity.
Just from an attrition standpoint. So I think you got to create that. You got to make them feel different. And I think Tony's point about changing the jersey, the color, kind of is like emblematic of it, right? It's almost a point where you feel different because you're when you put on something different.
Okay. I never understood the Kelly Green thing. I really didn't.
I know you don't. You didn't grow up with it.
So yeah, I get it.
Like, I understand your point. Here's why if I was to argue with someone that has no connection, you have no connection to Kelly Green, it's this. The midnight and the black, like, that's really not Eagles anyway. I mean, it's kind of you're a traditionalist. Don't you like having the colors that you are... that your franchise was really,
yeah, like the maroon Phillies jersey, the powder blue Phillies jersey. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. But I never understood like the outrage overall. Bring back Kelly Green.
Yeah, well, it's
to me, it's personal.
It's only because it harkens back to childhood of someone like me who's older than you,
and that's why you don't like the black jerseys. Where I go nuts when they go with the black.
No, that's had nothing to do with black. That has nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay. It's not the Eagles' colors.
It's not their colors. So black is ridiculous. Like, you're not... Like, I'd rather you go silver and be all silver. Okay. But you're not... black has nothing to do with the Eagles' colors.
All right.
So I hate the black.
I love them.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's not their color. It's like the Falcons.
Yes. You
know? Let's go to Nick in Collegeville. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Nicky...
Happy gentlemen, Thanks, how we doing, man? Listen, Joel's score yet?
Dude, I still can't believe that. I still can't believe he didn't score.
I was trying to get in all day. Look, I was trying to get in all day on Monday because of Carson in the game, and all day yesterday because of Joel, and it took till today to get in. I mean, those 40 hours, 1 p.m. Sunday to 7 p.m. Monday night was just... Like I'm at home. I get home and I'm watching the game, like the Monday night game, and I'm going, oh my god, where did our teams go? Where the hell did our teams go? Like 3 weeks ago, we had a whole different perspective on the Sixers and the Eagles, even though the Eagles were struggling. But we're like, I'm sitting Monday night. I'm on the couch and I'm like, I don't know who these teams. I don't know who these players are. It's just crazy. Crazy.
You know what it is, Nick? Like, I can't wallow today. Like, today, I want to find solutions. Like, today, I want to put a positive spin, man. Like, it's been a drag the last couple weeks. You know? It's been a terrible, terrible drag. It's been awful. Like, I want to, all right, what do we got to do to get this turned? Because it's not like they're awful, right? Any of these teams. It's not like they stink and they got no shot.
No.
They just need tweaks here and there, and, you know, you're back.
Now, to bring up a good point that Chunichit did, it's not like the bad Kelly Green Eagles when I was growing up.
Exactly.
To back him up on that point. And we grew up in the same era. I'm a couple years older than you, and I grew up in the same era. And I don't care about the Kelly Green. Now, what you said about I need to bring a fresh look and perspective into the locker room next year, and you want to start with the Kelly Green, I'll accept that argument. But all those other arguments for
I agree.
Years,
listen, you're right about that. There is no the color, who cares, right? They won a Super Bowl with Midnight Green. Andrew's right.
Right, but exactly.
I'm just talking about a reset And if you use the Kelly Green that way, fine. You just need some sort of reset.
Hold the power button for 10 seconds, Ann. Look, this is what's scary about the Sixers. They look structurally worse than last year, and they look lost. Like, I want to give them 25 games, and I want to give Ben the end of the season, playoffs like we agreed on. But guess what? Ben, I know, has regressed. I
disagree
with
you.
He looks lost.
It's not about regressed. When you use that word regress, has he become less of a facilitator?
Yes.
I disagree. Yeah. He didn't have 14 dimes on Saturday, 13 dimes the other night. He's less of a facilitator?
I said this last year to Mike early in the season. Like, it's going to come to a point this year or next year that when he gets that, what I call a soft triple-double, 12 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists, we're going to look at him like, dude, we don't care. He's not Westbrook triple-double. He's not, James triple-double. Like, when he gets points. A triple-double,
we're talking about points. That's what you're talking about. You're not talking about facilitating. You're not talking about defense. Like, there's no regression in his game regressed. When it comes to that. What?
His defense has regressed. Like, his he gets beat consistently to the point that he puts more stress on Joel and Al and Richardson. I mean, look.
Dude, did you watch him play Saturday night?
And
you're going to tell me that his defense
that's an anomaly.
Has regressed?
Look, that one out of four games is an anomaly now. It's not working. It's not as consistent as last year.
Like, I'll agree that he needs to score. Like, that I completely agree with. But I disagree that you think his game is regressed. I completely disagree.
I don't even
care. And defensively? I mean, I don't know what you're watching, Nikki.
And I was, let me go to Brett then. I'll watch a couple more games even more intently. We understand they're built for 16, right? We said that. Okay. And I understand he's trying to figure things out in the first 25, 30 games or till New Year's Eve, whatever he wants to call, date. Mm-hmm. But if we're a bully ball team, there's enough veterans there that when it gets to like the 42nd or 43rd minute, like they look lost in that half court. Like they look lost the other night with 2-3 minutes ago.
They did.
Generate a good shot.
No, you're right about that. They did look, and I think that's about roles, right? That's about knowing where you should be on the floor, knowing your roles. I think the biggest problem is not Simmons, but it's Embiid. He hasn't looked at all dominant the whole season.
You're
talking about putting stress on Embiid. I think you're crazy. Embiid has not performed the way he needs to perform. He's not dominated a second in this game so far.
But Ben hasn't taken up that gap. See, that's my whole thing.
The scoring gap.
Your screener in the station, and I'm glad Chunas is on site today. I said that Joel looks like he's slower. His power moves, his picks, his pivots are slower and sloppier.
Yeah. Yes.
But at that point, then Al and Tobias, who came on your show and sounded great, he gave us a speech, and I was like, great. And I'm going, where is he? Is he in the game? Like, I have to look for a headband.
I agree with you there. They do need to step up. Nikki, happy Thanksgiving. Stop by the Reading Terminal Market. You're bringing me down, man. I got to cheer you up.
The house. I know. Listen, if I had to go to the office at Discovery Hill, I was going to stop by. But I might not have intentions of leaving or getting a shower yet anytime today.
All right,
I'll see you Christmas Eve. How's that?
You got it, buddy. Take it easy. My God. Nikki sounded like Miserab.
Pascal Siakam, when defended by Ben Simmons, this is from Rich Hoffman. 9 minutes, 11 seconds of NBA time. 5 points, 2-6 shooting, 0 free throws. Yeah. Siakam, when defended by anyone but Ben Simmons, 3 minutes and 35 seconds of NBA time, 18 points, 7 of 13 shooting, 5 of 6 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
So come on now.
Yeah, I mean, we throw the word regress out a lot when it comes to Ben, and I think we misuse the word. Let's take a quick TO. We got Doug coming up. We got a lot of stuff, and I'm loving talking to you guys. Fun day live at the Reading Terminal Market. Please stop on by. Hang out. This is the Anthony Gargano Show live on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, here's the deal. We're live at the Reading Terminal Market. What a treasure. The market, man, this is just more than a food hall. This is all about events. The market can be a venue for your corporate holiday party, socials, even your wedding. Contact All About Events to book your next event in this iconic building. You're guaranteed to have the best food and Philly experience. We got Trey hanging. So, listen, Doug Peterson's at the podium. Let's listen in on Doug. We'll come back. We'll visit with Trey. We'll talk to the people. Open up the lines. But here's Doug with a little Wednesday update.
He's learned Z. He can play Z Mac. Obviously, he can play all three. But JJ's kind of the guy now. I mean, he's the one that's in that position, and he's done some nice things these last couple of games. He's gaining a little more confidence in that. Nelly obviously can play over there, and then bringing Greg up, obviously gets some flexibility in the slot. So, JJ Mac can kind of fill that spot and really kind of back up a couple spots.
Will Greg still have a role in the offense?
I think so. I mean, I think he's earned it. He's deserved it by the way he's practiced. So he'll have a role.
What have you seen from JJ that think he's ready for?
Well, I just think what I've seen in practice, how he's working, how he's taken, his coaching from the classroom to the practice field. Some of the things he did in the game last week, even though the ball necessarily maybe didn't go his direction, just how he was able to run routes and some of the things that he did that way, blocking, things of that nature. So, it's where we are in our season, and these guys, obviously were drafted for a reason, and now we got to get them to play and play well.
As a quarterback who's played in the league, how impressive is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who just seems to find a job every year, seems to find a way to keep digging in this league?
A lot of respect for what he's done, his career. Go back to last year when we faced him, Tampa Bay, and he's a competitor. I love watching him play. He doesn't care. He's gonna try to put the ball in tight windows, and he's gonna lead probably more by example. But a lot of respect for him. A lot like Josh McCown, with us. I mean, these guys that continue to play and play at a high level and help their teams win, and a lot of respect for those guys.
Doug, what do you say to Carson as he's trying to get out of this, the last couple of games and not been his best, not been the offense's best? What do you say to Carson to keep him confident, during this final stretch here in Sunday?
I think the biggest thing for me and him and not only our relationship but also, just coaching him on the field is just you just got to let, easier said than done, but you got to let the offense just kind of work. Let the guys around you work. Trust your offensive line. Sometimes even trust your defense. And knowing that we've got a pretty good defense right now, and they're playing well here in the last couple of weeks. And you don't have to go in there into a game looking for plays, searching for plays. Let the plays come. Obviously, let them unfold and find the completion. And it starts in practice. Just as we talk, during the week about the game plan and his ideas, our ideas, my ideas, thoughts, how I'm thinking about the game, and just get him to really kind of focus on that and not worry about the outside. Keep it one play at a time mentality. Those are all things that we continue to talk with him about, where he doesn't feel like he's got to do everything.
It seems like that's confidence that Carson and his offense that has struggled is being able to snap at it. What do you believe?
Well, I think we've done it in the past. We've had. I mean, you look at the kind of the way our schedule's gone. I mean, we've lost two, we won two, we lost two, we've won two. We've kind of been down that path just a little bit, but we've always bounced out of it. And And this is a resilient group. And, you know, I can obviously help that with play call, play design, you know, with myself and Mike Rowe. And, so I've seen it this year, how we've been able to kind of bounce out of these tough times and get it back on track.
It's like that your message for Carson for a while now is kind of let the offense work and not try to do too much. Why do you think it hasn't maybe sunken in as much as you hoped?
You know, that's the thing is, that's my message to the team. That's my message to the entire offense. And that's what I tell that's what I tell them all the time, every day. You know, you guys are asking me a question today, and then it goes a couple days, and you ask me again. So you're hearing it like every third day, where I'm talking about it every day with the team. That make sense? So it's no different, even defensively or on special teams. Just, you know, let the game come to you. Make the plays that when they come your way, you make the play. If you're a defender, guy in space, you get them on the ground. You know, you make a play. And so that's no different with Carson. It's no different with any of our players, with the offensive line, whatever it might be. So that's really been the message pretty much probably for any coach, but obviously for me with this team.
Is part of the issue that you have a quarterback that likes to push the ball downfield because of personnel? Maybe it's, you know, the underneath shooter stuff that's available right now?
I think that's part of it. You know, and obviously we had our issues this past week with protection, especially early, and we had some issues, you know, just with substitutions, and, you know, it's obviously with, you know, Pryor in there, and of course Dillard was in there, B was in there, and just rotating that side, but, and then, you know, obviously the injury of the receiver. I mean, it can all be factors, you know, in that, and that's why just messaging with Carson, just, you know, try not to worry about that. Try not to focus on that. Just continue to focus on the game plan, one play at a time. Again, let the offense around you and the guys work for you, and you just do what you can control.
Do you think Alshon and Nelson will be full participants today?
Yeah, I do.
And Lane has he been cleared?
Lane has been cleared to practice today. Okay. If you know what I'm saying, so it's part of the protocol, but he's cleared to practice today.
Jordan Howard, for contact yet?
Not for contact. No, still limited. We'll still do individual.
With respect to Ward, why did it take so long for him to get his chance?
I think it's you know, sometimes it's complicated with the roster, and you know, we felt like we were on track to maybe getting him up a few weeks ago, but then, you know, you get an injury in the secondary and you got to pull a guy up there, or, you know, in our case, it got to the point where we had a couple of receivers go down, you know, and then, of course, one was Jordan Matthews, bring him in, and then we had a chance there to bring Greg up. So, you know, it's a little bit of a juggling act. We've been real comfortable and confident with Greg the whole year. Again, like I said, he's earned it. He's deserved this opportunity, but, you know, the timing earlier in the year just wasn't right for us to do, to make that move.
Brandon Brooks said about the message being, let your offense work for your defense, special teams as well. When you have a quarterback that extends plays like Carson, and that's one of the strengths of this game, how do you straddle that line? Because the off-schedule stuff at times can be very effective, but you mentioned Monday, got to end every drive with a kick, so you can't turn the football over. So
yeah.
How do you kind of weigh that?
I think those are just those off-schedule plays that just happen. Those are happenings, what we call happenings in the game. And anytime your quarterback can extend a play, you never know when it's going to come, you know, during the game. And so, you know, that's part of Carson's game. That's his one of his strengths, obviously. And we encourage him, you know, to, if he sees something, pull it down, run like he did last week, last couple of weeks, and make first downs. But those are the off-schedule plays that, again, that's just part of the game and letting the game unfold and seeing what's around you and, you know, keeping our offense on the field.
Brandon Brooks said he met with you, Howie, and Coach Statlin this week to just sort of talk about the plan for him moving forward. Can you tell us a little bit about what that meeting was like?
It was great.
Has your understanding of what he goes through changed over the last 3 years since he first happened?
Just my awareness of what he's dealing with. Obviously, the last couple of years and this past weekend, it's real. You know, it's a real thing. And you know, he, like I said earlier this week, I mean, he battles every single day with that anxiety, and it hits people in different ways. But you know, for him to really take ownership and really want to seek help a few years ago and to come out and kind of address it, I think has really helped him and helped him get past it. And then, you know, to put it at the forefront so that people understand. And there's probably other people out there that deal with the same issues. And I feel like he can even be an ambassador, you know, for this. But just knowing that, I think, and having that awareness, whatever I can do to help him, I'm always going to do that and support him.
How much is defense like the one you saw from recently?
It's similar. Obviously, you know, structure-wise, they do a couple things differently on third down, but for the most part, it's a very similar style. They are playing a lot of one-high defense, single safety, middle, and man, mixed in there too deep that, you know, obviously the Patriots did a couple weeks ago. But, you know, personnel is different, obviously, but you do see some of the same structure.
Doug, with Jordan, it's been a few weeks now. Are you seeing improvement with that shoulder? And is there concern that this could be a kind of a really long term thing?
You know, it's day to day. It is progressing. It's trending obviously in the right way. We just got to make sure that he gets his strength back before we put him back out there.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. It's awesome. Brother.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.